continues on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Audrey Nowakowski. The summer is in full swing and gardens are looking green. But there's always ways to make our flower beds sparkle just a bit brighter. Every month, Lake Effect contributor Melinda Myers joins Joy Powers to give her expert tips on gardening. This month, she explains the process of deadheading flowers, how it works, and how it can help your garden.
As we know, it's June. A lot of us, our gardens are already in bloom. I think most of us are seeing a lot of greenery right now. But we're about to talk about a process that is in some ways removing that greenery to encourage more greenery. So explain to me, what is deadheading?
Deadheading is removing those faded flowers, and in some cases it's just so the plants look neat and tidy. In other cases, especially with annuals and some perennials, removing the faded flowers encourages more blooms. And so as much as it may pain you to get out there and clip off those flowers as they fade, think of it as a way of making sure you have more blossoms and color in your garden as you go. And one thing I like to do is pick a few flowers to enjoy indoors, so that's one way of picking them before they start to decline, and that's a way of removing those flowers so that you're encouraging more blooms, but you get to enjoy some inside as well. And I think it feels less painful harvesting than deadheading sometimes.
Yeah, how do you know if a plant actually needs to be deadheaded?
You know, a great question. Some plants like impatiens are self-cleaning, and you'll see that they drop their old petals and they just keep blooming and you don't need to do anything. Calibrachoas or million bells, they're like mini petunias. Those don't need deadheading. They keep blooming and going crazy all season. And so a lot of gardeners will look for those because they're lower maintenance. But then there are some of those like, say your annual salvias or even your perennial salvias. As that flower fades, if you don't get more blooms producing, remove those faded flowers. Some things like snapdragons, they actually start forming seeds, or lantana, you'll see little berries forming. And so they start putting all their energy into the seed pods or those little berries and produce very few flowers. So it's a good indication that, oops, I need to get out there and remove those stems with the seed pods or the little berries and then keep track of those plants a little better. So as the flowers fade, get out there before they start forming the seeds. So that's kind of a clue that it's something that needs your attention a little sooner rather than later.
Okay, so when a plant goes to seed like that, that's a good indication that you should deadhead. Is that true for most plants?
You know, that is a good plan unless you want those seeds. Sometimes gardeners at the end of the season will let their marigolds or zinnias form seeds and then they'll collect those and plant. But hybrids don't come true from seed, so just don't be surprised with what you turn up with. But that's part of the fun of gardening. So, you know, if your plants are fading and they're not producing more flowers, especially annuals, that's a good sign that you're seeing a need to get out there and remove them. Now, with perennials, a lot of them have a shorter bloom time. They typically don't bloom all summer long. So a lot of those we deadhead just for aesthetics, so it looks better. Some we can leave, especially towards the end of the season, so that we have seeds for the birds to eat, things like coneflowers. And some of them, like coneflowers, we may want to deadhead early to get more bloom, but then that last flush of flowers let them form the seeds so that we have winter interest and then food for the birds.
Now, is there a specific way that you should be doing this? You know, cutting at an angle, different ways to ensure that you're getting the most out of your plant?
You know, great question. And this is, again, we're looking at how the plant grows. So I think a lot of us know salvia or plants with spikes of flowers. And so how salvia blooms, it sends up a main flower stem and that main flower stem starts to fade. Now on the perennial, you're going to cut back to either side buds. You'll see new little flower buds forming or leaves. And so that's going to give a clean look. Then those side buds were going to grow into flowers. And by removing that first flower, that second flush of bloom is going to be that much more impressive. So things that have spikes, tall stems with little flowers on it, we're going to prune back to a set of healthy leaves. Or if you see branches or buds coming out the side, you'll prune back to there. Now, there are some things like daylilies or balloon flower, where each individual flower fades. It only lasts a day, but there may be 30 on that flower stem. So I always put my daylilies back where the faded flowers don't bother me, because it's going out every day and removing those. Some people say those faded flowers look like dirty handkerchiefs, so they can't stand it. And so going out every day and pulling off those faded flowers allows the remaining ones to grow, develop, and shine. And then you remove that whole flower stem when it's done. And that's mainly for aesthetics. That flower spike is going to continue to open flowers each day. And that's more of an aesthetic. Then something like hostas or coral bells have their flowers on a flower stem, and it comes right directly out of the ground. And those we're going to prune back right to the ground level, and that'll be out of sight, because that's where the flowers originate. That's where we remove the faded flowers.
Now, I'm someone who does a lot of herb gardening, and something I've noticed this year, both with herbs that I started from seed and herbs that I bought at the store, is a lot of them are going to seed pretty quickly. They're already starting to flower. Is there any way to, you know, deadhead, I guess, one of those plants to encourage the rest to grow?
You know, great point. And I've noticed that on my basil, too. I'm just amazed at how quickly they're going to flower. So some people call that live heading. So things like coleus or your herbs that are forming flowers, especially basil, we don't want them to flower. Instead, we want them to produce more leaves and stems. So we pinch off that flower as soon as we see that. So then it will produce more leaves and stems. You remove that pinching, removing that tip, removes a hormone that stimulates more growth, and that encourages, by removing that tip, it encourages some of the side buds to form new branches with leaves, so you'll have more to harvest. So as you know, as an herb grower, that you do regular harvest, you harvest when you need it, that encourages more growth. But when that plant sneaks in and starts blooming, you want to pinch that off. The flowers are edible on basil and some of the other herbs, but we really are looking for that flavor from the leaves. So live heading, removing those flowers before they fade, is a great way to take care of that problem.
Well, and how are these two things, deadheading, live heading, different from pinching and pruning in general? What's the difference, and when should you do that?
You know, pinching is just removing that growing tip, and that's where that auxin hormone is that encourages plants to grow upward instead of having branching and growing outward. So a lot of times when we put a young plant in the garden and it's kind of tall and leggy, we may just pinch out that growing tip to encourage branching. Now, sometimes we do a pruning or a hard pinch where we'll take our pruners and we'll actually cut halfway down the plant, or, you know, a little bit further, and cut above a set of healthy leaves or where there were buds, because we want to encourage more compact growth as well as branching. And so we'll sometimes do that, like for some of our perennials. I'm bringing salvia up again because I think it's one so many people know. But with perennial salvia, after the second flush of bloom, sometimes those plants get floppy. And so we'll cut them back about halfway. That encourages new growth. Some varieties will flower again, but really what we're looking for is nice looking leaves for the rest of the season. And you can do that on leggy herbs as well. If your herbs have, you know, kind of gotten away from you and there's just one straggly stem, you may want to prune that back to encourage more branching, more compact growth, and more leaves and stems to harvest in the future.
So right now, a lot of our gardens, they have a lot of flowers. Things are looking great, but I know that there are other things that we can do to make sure that our plants continue to look great. What should you be doing right now here in June?
You know, a couple of things. If you haven't mulched the soil, mulching the soil with, say, shredded leaves, it seems like we always have those leaves that appear in our landscape. At least they always did when I lived in the city. For trees and shrubs, I don't mind using bark or twice or triple shredded bark on perennials. Evergreen needles, I'm a big believer in kind of putting to work whatever you have in your landscape. But mulching, spreading a thin layer of those shredded leaves or evergreen needles around the on the soil soil around your plants helps conserve moisture, suppress weeds, because boy, the weeds are going great this year once again. And then it also, as they break down, they improve the soil. So mulching. If you fertilized at planting and used a slow-release fertilizer, you may be set for the season. If you haven't fertilized or your plants look like they need a bit of a nutrient boost, midsummer is a good time to use a low-nitrogen slow-release fertilizer. I think all your listeners know I'm a fan of Milorganite because it's goof-proof and won't burn your plants if you fertilize in the heat of summer. And it provides any of those low-nitrogen slow-release fertilizers are providing small bits of nutrients over a longer period of time. So it promotes equal above and below ground growth, slow, steady growth that's less susceptible to insects and disease, won't interfere with flowering, and is more drought tolerant. So a mid-season boost, nutrient boost if needed. And then I think watering is always the challenge for any gardener. You know, our weather is crazy, then the temperatures are really high like we've had recently. You may be watering more often. When things are cool, you water less often. So you always want to water thoroughly to encourage good deep roots. Check the soil, the top few inches. If they're crumbly and moist and slightly moist and starting to dry, it's time to water again. You know, if you wait till it's bone dry, your plants are probably going to suffer unless they're really drought tolerant established plants. Overwatering is just as bad as underwatering. And watering shallow every night really encourages shallow roots that once you leave town for a few days or forget to water for a couple days, those plants suffer. So a good soaking eventually once a week is usually enough for most plants in whatever is normal weather for us here in Wisconsin.
Yeah. All right. Well, Melinda Myers, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect and sharing your work.
Well, thank you, and everybody, enjoy your gardens. We've got a beautiful summer ahead of us.
Melinda Myers is an expert in all things gardening and a regular Lake Effect contributor. She spoke with Joy Powers, and you can find more of their conversations about gardening at wuwm.com.